going, everybody? Welcome to the Third Line Plugs SenseCast. I am your host, Taylor Gibson. Joining me, as always, from the tropical metropolis of Calgary, Alberta, my co-host, Tim Jensey. Tim, the solar eclipse, did you get a chance to see it today?
Yeah, and it was actually kind of funny because I feel like the last time there was a solar eclipse, which I believe was 2018, we talked about me viewing that solar eclipse and how I'm going to dig up the episode number and I'll bring it up next week because I did reuse the box that I made to view that previous eclipse to view this eclipse. And I think I told a story about how me and my coworker kind of screwed it up at first.
Oh man, I'm blanking on this moment now, to be honest with you, given that it was 6 years ago. I apologize. I'm completely blanking on that right now.
No, like I feel like I told this story, but yeah, so we built it wrong, but then we corrected it as the eclipse was happening last time. So this time, yeah, we were able to bring out the box. It was only a partial eclipse in Calgary. Very slight. I think we got like 40% coverage.
Okay, so basically you got more than what we got here, because...
Yeah, well, you're further west, right?
Yeah, that too, but also because of our weather, it was really cloudy and rainy here today. We didn't even see the eclipse.
Oh, it was bright, sunshiny day in the morning and afternoon here in Calgary.
There's an eclipse. Look directly at it. Be a man.
Yeah, it's so weird how, like, a bunch of places were like, you better watch out for the eclipse. You're gonna burn your eyes out, like... Yeah, I'm an adult. I can figure that one. It's like, I can figure out that one out. And unless you're like gawking at it like a moron, you're not going to burn your eyes out. Like, yeah. You actually have to look at it and linger on it to get serious damage.
It's kind of like if you remember in King of the Hill where Dale's talking about Jimmy Wichard. He says he talked about how he fried his brain looking out the sun.
Yeah.
Although some people say he wasn't too smart to do that to begin with.
You could do like a glancing look, but like if you stare at it, obviously it's going to hurt.
Yeah, I think for me, if I saw it, I would have looked at it like, oh, that's cool. And then that's it. And let's just move on with my life. So Tim, very excited to get together today to talk about today's episode. Not only because, well, I can't even say I'm excited to talk about games because who are we kidding? We got three losses to talk about, but we do have a good cover athlete to talk about for today's episode, season 7, episode 25 in chronological order, episode 175, Igor Sokolov. So just a little background, Igor Sokolov, he was selected 61st overall by the Ottawa Senators in 2020, has played parts of two seasons with the Senators, recording one goal, one assist for 2 points in 13 games. Man, remember when Igor Sokolov first came into the organization and Sens Twitter loved this guy? He really seemed like that homegrown kind of folk hero player that we all loved. And then a couple years later, it's almost like we just abandoned him and forgot.
Well, one of the things that really hasn't helped Igor Sokolov's case is that his numbers this year are really down and... he probably won't match his numbers from 2021, 2022, let alone last year. So the hype train's definitely died as we've kind of seen that dip. And it's a shame because, like, yeah, that homegrown story, the video they did talking about how he loved his billet family and enjoyed his time up in Cape Breton, they're really heartwarming. Let's be real.
No, but it was incredibly heartwarming.
Yeah, it's just a shame that, like, this year in particular, he's not going to crack 50 points at the AHL level, which he did for the last 2 years. And what's funny is his goal totals are going to be about the same as he'll probably get another 20 goals at the AHL level. But it just kind of sounds like the game isn't really... it's either hit a snag or isn't translating. And the organization is just kind of wondering what they got.
Well, it doesn't help that you have guys like Ridly Greig and Ospacek who have jumped him in the depth chart and have made the NHL.
For sure. And I think there's a lot of people who are looking at where he got drafted in that 2020 draft. To be fair, it's not like there's anyone else that passed like later in the draft that's really done much more than him, except Alex Laferriere and I guess Nico Dawes, but Dawes is a goaltender in a bit of a weird case.
Yeah, it really seems like Ottawa truly did get the strong hand in that draft where, I mean, outside of Stutzla and Sanderson at 3 and 5, you got really Greig as well.
Yeah.
In the first round.
So it's like I can't really think of anyone that's been like that Ottawa really missed on Sokolov. It's just kind of a shame that the folk, someone who seemed like a cool folk hero, and for the early years of his career, it really looked like he could transition to be an effective NHLer. But 21, 22, having a zero stat line in 8 games played, and last year, a goal and an assist in 5 games didn't exactly inspire confidence. And then this year, seeing his AHL totals dip too, not great.
No, but it doesn't help either when you watch him and you realize what lack of skating he really has in his game. And I think that's a big hole for him. Like, he's a big body. If you need him to stand in front, he can. He has a good shot, but he's not a good skater. And you need to be a good skater to make the NHL nowadays.
But it's also like, it's so weird that his stat line jumped dipped this year, especially considering, yeah, he had 59 points of the A last year, which is nothing to sniff at.
No, it's not anything to sniff at, but it is unfortunate that the hype train has died down on Igor Sokolov. But I'll tell you one thing though, Tim. The hype train at one time was really high on next week's cover athlete for season 7, episode 26, in chronological order, episode 176, the one and only Bonk's mullet.
Yeah, good head of hair, and we've got Olivier Bonk in the NHL now, which is pretty interesting, and it seems to be a player that's developing as well.
Yeah, it would have been really great for Ottawa to get Oliver Bonk, but unfortunately, it wasn't in the cards though, Tim.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, Tim, as much as I could sit here and talk about our cover athletes, because when you talk about Sokolov and Bonk's mullet, we could talk all day about them. But I got to ask the question: outside of the solar eclipse, how's everything been going?
Been going good. Hopefully we'll get the floors into the basement starting tomorrow. So we're moving.
I know, because it's so soon, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're fighting against the clock right now to be like, you got to get this done.
Gotta
Baby's
get
going to
it
be here
done.
soon.
Pretty much.
No, but it is great to hear that at least you guys are getting the flooring done too, because that's a big job too.
Yeah. Well, we've got two guys coming in to do it, so that's all good.
No, that's all good, man. That's all good. Now, unfortunately, what's not good, Tim, it's something that unfortunately we do need to talk a little bit about here on today's episode. If you've been following Sen's Twitter over the last couple of days, you may have noticed former Ottawa Senator Bobby Ryan turned former podcaster. He made a comment over the weekend on Twitter, which forced him to be removed from the Coming in Hot podcast.
Didn't he double down as well, or am I making that one up?
For context, for people who may have seen this, so Bobby Ryan sent out a tweet on April 2nd, and this is the tweet right here, as I have it brought up. Guys, dot, 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 holy hell, relax. It's 8:43, and I want to go home and pretend like women's sports are a thing. 3 days later, the Coming in Hot podcast released a statement going, earlier this week, Bobby Ryan made comments on social media that do not align with our show or that of our sponsors and partner, the Nation Network. As a result, we have mutually decided to part ways. Okay. Do you remember a while back, Tim, when we talked about the Columbus Blue Jackets podcast, making that comment about Patrick Laine? And
Yep.
remember how he said, if you say stupid shit, you're going to get called out on it?
Yeah.
I don't know what Bobby Ryan was trying to get at here, especially because over the last while, like we talked about the success that the PWHL has had, and even in the last couple of weeks with the March Madness tournament and Caitlin Clark playing at the University of Iowa, you're seeing that women's sports are a huge thing right now. So I don't even know. And I understand, like, people will always argue, well, context is always needed with stuff like this, but you read it and you're like, in what context does this even make sense? There's a
Yeah.
difference between being
If
hard in the paint and being stupid.
it was just like one tweet and he's like, yeah, guys, I fucked up, it wouldn't have been great, but I think everyone could have agreed, like, yeah, whatever. But he doubled down and decided to become the main character of Twitter for a week. The fact of the matter is Bobby Ryan trended. I've seen that before. And yeah, if you were dumb enough to become the main character, there will be consequences, right?
Yeah, and we've seen it in the past with Brett Wallace's former co-host Mark Mathot with some of the stuff that he's mentioned on Twitter in the past. But I don't get where Bobby Ryan says stuff like this and people, like, what was he expecting? He's saying something and people not to call him out? Because Chris Johnson called him out on
yeah.
it. And that's where he doubled down on it. He doubled up by calling out Chris Johnson, being like, oh, well, what was this you said? Trying to get him to respond. And everybody's like, what the hell are you doing, Bobby?
Yeah, like, it was a bit weird. Not a bit weird. It was that one I just don't understand. So it's like, I'm really not surprised that the Coming in Hot podcast decided to go a different way, especially after that, because it's just like, it's kind of needlessly aggressive.
It is. And it's interesting to see some of the comments in support of Bobby, because you're seeing people who are very sexist come out in the open about it. And I think some of the comments were, oh, coming in woke and all this stuff. And I'm just like, this is why I don't read the comments.
Oh, yeah, just don't read comments.
No. I did that to myself.
This is just another episode of Play Stupid Games, Win Stupid Prizes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, look, when it comes to women's sports, you and I have talked about it on the past with the PWHL. I think it's great. I personally, I don't follow it myself. That's not a sexist thing. That's not anything. I just don't follow it, right? It's cool when I see it on TSN or whatever, and I occasionally watch it. I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. I get, and there's a lot of talent there. But yeah, I don't know where Bobby's going with this.
Yeah, I guess it's like the one thing that I kind of like went home and thought about this, like, it's kind of incredible how much more popular women's college basketball is than WNBA. Because, like, it feels like the college basketball and NBA, there isn't that much of a gap either way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, the WNBA, like, women's college ball, there's a lot of excitement for it. Then all of a sudden, just kind of disappears as soon as these women go off to the WNBA. And that's what I found really surprising, because it's like, yeah, like, I don't think I've ever seen people on Twitter really talk about the WNBA unless there's some sort of gender politicking attached to it. Well, with the with this college ball, or even especially the PWNHL, the women's hockey league this year, and to a degree women's soccer as well, you see just legitimate joy for this game rise organically. Like, there's no politicking attached. So it's very, I wonder why the WNBA can't catch the windfall that women's college basketball's created.
I don't know. And it's really been fascinating to see the Discord, if you've been following it, with Caitlin Clark from Iowa, who, again, a few weeks ago, she broke the NCAA Division I record for most points scored in college basketball.
See, that's cool.
And here's the WNBA, who has an opportunity to push their league to the next level. Basically, with Caitlin Clark, the WNBA has their Michael Jordan or Larry Bird.
Like, that potential story, yeah. Like, yeah. That superstar coming out. I guess it's like, the WNBA's had so many chances and bungled all of them, I wonder. And, like, yeah, especially with Candace Parker and Grenier, for two examples of potential stars that have just kind of been bungled. Maybe there's just not a lot of confidence in the current form of the WNBA to take a really cool emerging storyline of this woman who's just destroying college basketball and making it interesting. So that's why the story hasn't organically percolated, because there's no faith in the WNBA vis say the new women's hockey league that is surpassing everyone's expectations. So it gets viewed in a more positive light. That might be it.
I don't want to go too further into this, because I don't want us getting in trouble, but there is one more thing I do want to talk to you about, Tim, because I was on Crave the other day.
Uh-huh.
And I know you're a big anime guy, and I'm not sure if you follow manga that closely at all, but there's a new show that came out called The Fable.
Okay.
Okay, so, and it's funny, because now you know me. You've known me, I don't know, almost 20 years now. You know I'm not really an anime guy. I don't read manga. So I just saw the advertisement for it. I'm like, okay, that looks kind of cool. Like, okay, I'll check it out, whatever. And I got about halfway through the first episode. It's okay, this is kind of interesting. It's kind of, I like the cool art style. Very dark colors. Kind of, yep. Think of like, kind of like Max Payne. Think of like an anime version of Max Payne. And I'm watching, I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. Now, understandably, I don't understand Japanese. Yep. So I have the English subtitles, and that's kind of cool. So I want to get your take. I mean, have you read The Fable? Do you know anything about this?
I haven't done much, but the manga is pretty well regarded.
Okay.
But the adaptation doesn't seem to be. Like, it's got a 6.8 on my anime list, so it's like, if you like the if you like kind of this sort of these sort of Hitman type shows, you'll like it if you like the genre, but otherwise it's not going to have general popularity, which is a shame for a manga that is rather popular.
Yeah, and that was something that, and this is why I wanted to bring it up, because I know you're big into that kind of stuff, so you would have better insight than I would. But like I said, I watched about halfway through the first episode. I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. I don't know if I would follow it the entire way through, but for a first-time viewer who is so out of his depth and element, it was all right.
Yeah, like, it's all right is kind of what the general vibe around the show is. And the other thing that's kind of weird is just kind of looking at the manga versus looking at some of the images from the show it's currently airing. I have to say, I don't like the character designs.
No? Not a fan?
Well, it's just, they've been flattened a lot. So looking at the manga, the character designs are very, there's a lot of detail to them. And obviously, to move it to anime, to an animation, obviously, you're going to have to simplify it so it can move. But I think it ended up coming out very generic and very bland.
Okay.
I think bland would be the best way to describe it. But hopefully, right, like, it looks a bit better in motion.
Yeah, maybe. And like I said, I mean, I'm completely out of my depth here. And I claim to be no expert on the subject. I know you're big into that. That's why I'm counting on your opinion for this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a more interesting mercenary show that came out about a decade ago called Jorgmund might be up your alley.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's on Netflix. Oh, it's on Crunchy and Funny.
I'll have to talk to Katrina. Maybe I think she might have an account for that.
Okay.
No, this is a good conversation, man. Honestly, I might finish the other half of The Fable later tonight. But before I do anything like that, Tim, I think it's to the time of the episode where we segue into this little segment I like to call Top of the Hour.
Nice.
That's really good. By the way, I don't know about you, but so I bought that, it's like a flavored water stuff from Walmart. Just like the liquid squirt stuff. It's good. I got an orange.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Tim, we got a couple of congratulations we're going to give out. And we're going to start off with Florida Panthers head coach Paul Maurice, who moved into fourth on the all-time wins list at 865.
You know, I don't really know what to think about that. Well, Paul Maurice has also been around for a while. I think the last time we talked about Paul Maurice, we were both like, he's been plagued for how long?
Yeah, but it's like, it's funny because even some of the stories that's come out in the last day or so, like Frederick Anderson having the most wins by a goalie in the first 500 games of his career, that's a record that you sit there and you're kind of like, Frederick Anderson has that record? Really?
Well, I think we underrate how good of a goaltender Freddie Anderson really is.
Well, do you think it's because of how he fell apart for the Leafs in the playoffs? That's kind of the stigma against him right now.
I think that's the knock, too. And I think the other thing about him is that he never I don't want to be too generalizing here, but in his time in Carolina, they became the team that got swept.
Yeah, and they got swept by Sergei Bobrovsky, who I think holds another record this week. He's like second. He's the what's the record? He is the he's played the second most games for a Russian goalie or something.
Yeah, and like he's an impressive player. And the other thing about like Freddie Anderson is like even his time in the Leafs, he was pretty good. Like played strong, good underlings, good save percentages. And it was just that one year down the stretch where the Leafs, where he, sorry, the that bubble season in Toronto where things just kind of, and I think he was injured for part of it too, it just didn't really work out. That was a weird season to boot, though.
It was a weird season. And talking about Paul Maurice, it's interesting that he's fourth on this list, given that those couple of Leafs teams that he coached were not great teams at all. And even some of the teams, and we've talked about this in the past, I mean, some of those teams he coached, like he coached the Whalers, coached those bad Leaf teams. You look at some of the teams he's coached, and you're like, okay, he got to the fourth spot despite that.
Yeah. And, well, it's funny, is the Carolina teams weren't great, and the Winnipeg teams weren't really that good either. Yeah, Paul Maurice is such an interesting guy. And part of me wonders if it's like, might be worth just doing a deep dive on him, because like, look at a lot of these teams that he was coaching. Like those Leaf teams, they were both bad. The only Carolina team that made the playoffs was the first one in 08-09. And then after that, it missed the playoffs every year. And then the Jets out of the playoffs, lost round one, out of the playoffs. Then they go to that run to the conference finals, lose to Vegas, lost in round one, lost the qualifying round, won a round in 2020, 2021, lost in round two, which they lose to the Canadiens that year.
In 2021? Yeah,
they lost to the Habs.
Yeah, they lost to Montreal, because I'm trying to remember the timeline, I think.
Because they beat Edmonton that year, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
I remember that. Remember, because you and I were just like beside ourselves because we thought Edmonton was going to roll over Winnipeg.
Yeah, then it was just like, oh, that's odd.
That was such a weird year to cover that playoffs, because you and I were like, this is weird that Tampa Bay and Montreal are meeting in the finals.
Yeah. Well, all the upsets that year were just bizarre, too. Montreal sweeping the Jets, then Montreal beating Vegas 4-2, and the Islanders beating Boston.
Hell, I mean, the Islanders were what, one win away from going to the finals that year. Can you imagine Pajot the Habs Slayer versus the Habs?
That would have been wild.
That would have been wild. And you know what's also wild, Tim? Washington Capitals forward Alexander Ovechkin became the second player in NHL history to record 850 goals.
He's getting that record.
He is getting that record. And you know what's funny is that usually with Ovechkin, we always started with Ovi Watch, but I changed it up for this episode.
Yeah, because he's 40 back.
He's 40 back, man. He's 40 back. And I mean, there's really not a lot we could really talk about Alex Ovechkin that hasn't already been said. But for our next player, though, let me tell you, there's still quite a bit to talk about here. Buffalo Sabres forward Jeff Skinner played in his 1,000th career game. Now, the interesting record about Jeff Skinner here, he's the only player to play 1,000 games in the NHL and not play a single playoff game.
That's incredible. And it's a shame because, like, Jeff Skinner is a good player. He's just been on some bad teams.
Like, you know how in the past that we've given shit to guys like Johnny Gaudreau for being that hot, cold player? Jeff Skinner was the ultimate hot, cold player. When he was hot, the guy got you 40 goals. If he was cold,
7.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's wild because we're talking about the guy won the Calder in 2010, 2011, right? And I feel like a lot of people were thinking that, okay, this Carolina's got something, Carolina's going somewhere here. And then just.
Okay, so you know how a few months ago there, Tim, you were talking about we should potentially do a deep dive into Paul Maurice's career? You know what it would have been a really cool off-season episode idea that I just thought of right now?
All right.
What if we did a deep dive into some of the Calder Trophy winners? Because think of it,
Ooh.
Steve Mason won Rookie of the Year, Jeff Skinner won Rookie of the Year, Barrett Jackman beat Rick Nash in 2003 for Rookie of the Year. That would be interesting to see how those careers
Oh,
turned out.
yeah.
You know what? I'm actually going to put a little note on that, Tim. So we're talking
Yeah.
about Jeff Skinner, though. I mean, the only comment I could really make here, and I gotta give a shout out to Adam about this, is that when Jeff Skinner was a Carolina Hurricane, he gave Taylor Swift one of his jerseys.
Really?
Yeah, I guess she was doing a concert in Raleigh and some of the Hurricane guys were there, and he gave her one of her jerseys, and he's like, "Oh, thank you." And up later, she had to ask who Jeff Skinner was.
That's funny.
That is funny. That is funny. Now, what's also not funny, Tim, and we've got to give a shout out to Boston Bruins forward Brad Marchand, who recorded his 400th career goal.
Yeah. And you know what's wild? Brad Marchand's 35.
That seems kind of crazy to me because he's one of those guys that, again, he's one of those guys you don't realize how long he's been in the NHL until records like this happen. And you're like, oh my God, the guy's been in the NHL since 2010.
Yep. He has a Stanley Cup. And he's only ever played for Boston.
It's really fascinating. Like, Brad Marchand's another guy who's had such a fascinating career because he started off his career as being that agitator, grinder type of player for Boston. And then he just willy-nilly goes to the World Cup of Hockey in 2016 and comes back a completely different player.
Well, I think the funny thing about Marchand is that he has kind of that grind. Like he was young when that Stanley Cup final win happened, right? So
I think
most
he.
people thought about him as kind of in that third line role. But around 2011, after that, he got bumped up to playing second line, almost first line duties. So it almost feels like that's kind of the view of someone who wasn't in Boston. When you look at ice time allocations for the Bruins, even as early as 2011, 2012, so the season after that Stanley Cup victory, Brad Marchand was already top three in ice time for the Bruins.
So what you're saying is that the jump from being that bottom sixer to a top guy shouldn't have been that surprising.
No, because he had already effectively been doing it.
Do you think maybe it's because of the star power the Bruins had on those teams from Marchand, Krejci, or sorry, not Marchand, from Bergeron, Krejci, guys like that, that you tend to forget that Brad Marchand played such a big role in those teams?
Honestly, that's not probably not a bad read. Because, yeah, we're talking about a guy who was a really, just a really effective player and probably didn't get the stats that he deserved, sorry, the reads that he deserved previous season. Da, 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 da. And let's get the stats up. Because. Yeah, in 2011, 2012, he was fifth on the Bruins in scoring with 55, including 28 goals. So, like, he already was out, cut out of that grinder role by the time he was in his 20s, basically, like his early 20s.
Yeah, and we can't forget when when Tyler Seguin got dealt out of Boston in 2013, he then also had to step up too.
And he really did. And like, what's insane is like in those years when Tyler Seguin was gone, they brought in, like, yeah, they had a Ginla. That was still when Milan Lucic was a big deal. Louis Erickson was on his downswing. And then as those guys disappeared, yeah, you saw Brad Marchand just move up and up the depth chart.
Yep, and then you had guys like David Pastrnak come into the NHL as well.
Yeah.
You know what? Give Boston this. I mean, as much as we clown on them for that 2015 first round, you look at the guys that they've been able to scout, draft, and develop in the last 25 years or so. They're still pretty good.
Yeah, that's the thing is Boston, yeah, they've had some misses on the draft, but at the other end of the scale, their pro scouting has been excellent. And their ability to get away from bad contracts and get rid of players once they no longer really made sense for the Bruins has been second to none. Like getting away from Torrey Krug, I think has been underrated.
That one could have blown up in their face big time because they were putting all their chips on Charlie McAvoy to be a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And yeah, Charlie McAvoy was young when they did it too. Like, I think he was only 22. So yeah, like credit to Boston and Brad Marchand has been excellent throughout his whole career.
He has. And now I think the big question is, at this moment, he's 35, he's got a cup, 400 goals. What do you think of his chances to get in the Hall of Fame? He's a guy. You know how last we talked about Corey Perry and we argue back and forth? I would love to see what the discord on Brad Marchand into the Hall of Fame would be.
I think we would hate it, but I think that he gets in. Well, the guy's probably going to have 1,000 points by the end of his career. Easy. He has a Stanley Cup. The only knock against him is the guy never got the chance to play in the Olympics, but that's just because the Olympics just didn't happen. Like, he was in the NHL for one Olympics.
Yep.
And that team was stacked.
Yeah, and you have to think, in 2026, he would have a pretty good chance of making that team in the bottom six.
Either that, probably, yeah. And then the other thing is like, he certainly would have made the team in 2022 or 2018. Had the NHL gone in those years, he would have made those teams. Easy.
Oh, yeah. No, hands down, he would have made those teams. Now, another guy who definitely would have made the Olympics in those years as well is Tampa Bay Lightning forward Nikita Kucherov, who recorded the Lightning's franchise record for most points in a season with 129.
I'm guessing the previous record holder was San Luis.
Oh, good question. I'm going to have to look this up. I'm going to say St. Louis would probably be a good guess. Let me just have a look here. Tampa Bay Lightning. All-time season.
Point. Yeah, because the most... But like, what Kucherov's been doing this season is insane. And the fact of the matter is that he's not even it. It's like the heart discussion is an open question. Just goes to show how insane the scoring this year has been.
Okay. Now, you know how you said Martin St-Louis?
Yeah.
In the top five, there's three players. Okay. 2021, 2022, Steven Stamkos had 106. Vincent LeCavalier had 108 in 06-07. And then you have 2018-19, 2022-2023, and this year, Nikita Kucherov, where in those 3 years, Tim?
It was all of them were Kucherov.
Okay. In order, here's 3-2-1. 113, 128, 136.
That's nuts.
You would have to think at the end of his career, Kucherov, you know what? You could make a legit argument. Kucherov will go down as the greatest Lightning of all time.
I don't even think that's the argument anymore.
I mean, you would have to think he is at this point.
Well, between, like, I guess you could argue, you can't even really argue Stammer, can you? We are talking about a guy who has two Stanley Cups, a Hart, and an Art Ross.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, St. Louis has that, but the only other guy you could maybe...
I guess Stamkos has two Richards.
Yeah. If you want to throw Victor Hedman in that category, I don't know how much water that would carry, but...
Yeah, and I guess, like, and his 60-goal Richard season is, I think, only recently broken.
It is very criminal when you talk about the scoring race this year, where everybody's talking about Connor McDavid hitting 100 assists, Matthews has 60-something goals, and here comes Nikita Kucherov, who has almost 140 points. Like, he's putting up numbers that Mario Lemieux was putting up in his career.
The reason why Kuch is getting a knock is a lot of his points are secondary assists. And then Nathan MacKinnon with 133, and almost all of his assists are primary, which is kind of fucked up.
Again, the NHL commercial, we're in a golden era. They're not wrong.
They're not wrong. And then nobody cares that Panarin has 115.
Are we basically getting into this point of the way that we looked at points in the 80s and 90s of being like, oh, this guy only has 130 points this year?
I don't think so, because we'll probably only get three players. Panarin's probably not crossing 130 with 130 this year.
It's just so cool because, again, if you look back, I mean, we're only a decade removed from Jamie Benn winning the scoring title with 85 points or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
In 13-14?
This season's cool.
No, the season's cool, and you know what? The playoffs. Oh, my God. You have no idea how excited I am for this playoffs to start, because it's going to be an absolute bloodbath to the end.
Oh, yeah. Like, Lord, whoever, I think it's Boston or New York, is going to have the easiest round one imaginable. Unless Pittsburgh not only just wills themselves into the playoffs, but wheels in a nice first round.
Yeah. Crosby will be the guy that does that. Crosby's not going to let that team die on its own.
Yeah. And Pittsburgh and Toronto tied at one at time of recording. Yeah, because if Pittsburgh gets that win, that gets them pretty... That lodges them pretty tight. They hop Detroit. But it's just kind of weird how no team really... Doesn't seem to be a team that really wants that.
No.
Final wild card spot.
It's kind of like it's a game of hot potato at this point. Because they're like, oh, we don't want to play that team.
Philly somehow fell out.
I mean, in fairness, we know exactly how they fell out.
Yeah, that's fair.
The Red Wings, I mean, hell, you called that right. You've been calling that right from the beginning.
Yeah, they're not good.
And the Islanders, I mean, you thought that Patrick Waugh was going to be the guy to get you over the top. And he just kind of hasn't.
They're not even at a wild card spot. They're third in the Metro. They're going to sneak in.
Washington's crazy, man, with like, what, minus 39 goals difference?
Minus 41.
40? Oh, my God.
They're worse than the Sens.
Yeah, we're not going to repeat the obvious of imagine if goaltending, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah. Do you want to talk about something messed up?
Sure.
There are three teams that could have a minus 100 goal differential this season, and none of them are in the East.
Don't tell me.
Uh-huh.
San Jose, Chicago, Columbus.
Anaheim.
Oh, okay. Anaheim. Okay, no, that makes sense. I was stretching for Anaheim, but no, I felt my heart. It was Columbus.
Yeah, like, we're talking about a San Jose team that they have 5 games left in the season, and they've won 18. I'm not sure we've seen that futility mark in a very long time.
I would have to say you would have to go back to the expansion years of the late 90s to do something like that.
Yeah, lowest points percentage by season. Let's see what we got. Yeah, because San Jose is clocking in at a healthy 0.286 currently. The last team to clock under 286. Let's see. We got...
Oh, I remember
the
the last.
Hartford Whalers.
Oh, you know what? I was actually thinking, I was trying to think, what was the last really, really bad team to hit that mark? What about the 16-17 Avalanche with 22 wins?
Oh, how about the 2019-2020 Wings with 17?
Oh, that was bad. And COVID shut that shit down too.
Yeah, it's incredible. In a full season. Sorry, in an almost full season, the Sharks only have one more win. It's,
yeah.
Like, that is powerful bad. But yeah, we're looking at, like, the 0.268 with the 97-98 Lightning. The expansion era Senators at under a quarter. The 93-94 Senators with 14 wins. I don't know. You're not beating that. But, like, this is the level of futility we're talking about.
But you know what, though? I mean, San Jose's had so many good to great years. To see them fall this hard is just depressing.
Oh, for sure.
But we are going to close off top of there by talking about a good news story. The Arizona Coyotes have announced plans to work with Hepludis Development Corporation towards building a 16,000-seat arena complex in Tempe, Arizona.
Ooh, that's fun.
This is very fun. This is really going to be interesting because they seem very confident that they're going to win that vote.
I mean, if they're already releasing all this hype stuff, they have to think they have a good chance.
You would have to think, but honestly, I just think, what happens if they lose this? The fans of the NHL already dunk on the Coyotes for, you know, from Mullet Arena to just being the franchise in general. And now you put this on top.
Yeah, if
I
they
mean,
lose this, you have to think that they either have a backup plan or you start seeing some thinking about Salt Lake City.
I mean, look, I like the confidence. I'm going to admit, I like the confidence, but don't hitch your horse before the wagon, dude.
I mean, I think they probably get it, honestly. Like, who else is going to use the land?
That's fair. That is fair. But you know what, Tim? We're going to have to wait and see and comment that on a later episode.
Yep.
Well, I guess that wraps up top of there for this week, which can mean only one thing. It's time to start talking about some games. Now, we got four games on the schedule for today's episode. We've got the Sens versus the Wild, DeChuck Bull versus Matthew and Brady, the Devils versus the Senators, and the Sens versus the Capitals. But before we do that, let's hit the music.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Okay, Tim, let's start talking about the Sens versus the Wild. This is a 3-2 Wild victory. Sens goals are scored by Drake Batherson and Jacob Chychrun. Wild goals are scored by Mason Shaw, Matt Boldy, and Vinny Lettieri. Shots were 32-19 for the Senators. Korpisalo made 16 saves in this.
Yeah. And admittedly, some of the shots that Minnesota got were, there was some quality in there. Like, the Lettieri goal was a very pretty goal.
It was.
The Boldy goal had no business going in. And I feel like I say that a lot. You cannot ask for a better defensive performance than what you got from the Senators.
Basically, from what I was seeing on Twitter regarding this game was that it's one of those games where the Sens outplayed the team and we lost.
Now, yeah.
Am I fair on that?
For sure. Like, the Mason Shaw goal came from an unfortunate, like, Ottawa lost the puck in the offensive zone, goes the other way, and then Mason Shaw just slides it five hole on Korpisalo. Like, it's not a great goal. The second goal, I don't even really know, like, the Matt Boldy goal. Korpisalo just kind of gets himself out of position, doesn't really track the puck, and yeah, like, he kind of squares it, but just doesn't get the position. And he has time to react, so I'm not really sure what happened there. Just, just a rough game for Korpisalo. The Sens played about as well as you could expect them, really.
Yeah, and that's really the unfortunate thing with Korpisalo is, like, we've said that how many episodes in this season where it's like he either moved himself out of position or why did that puck even go in?
Yeah, and the other thing is like every error Ottawa makes ends up in the back of the net. And it's just unfortunate watching this.
It is. It is. Now, I didn't get a chance to watch this game because that night I was in Victoria. The Victoria Royals, the WHL team here, were in the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. And yeah, they lost as well.
Was how bad?
It was fairly bad. It was one of those games where the Royals really didn't seem like they wanted to come out to play. Portland came out. And one, the goaltending for Victoria was awful. Two of those goals, it was a 2-on-1. The goalie slides, lands on his stomach, puck goes over him.
Ah.
Twice. And then, of course, there was like a lot of ticky-tacky calls. Goes against Victoria. Portland's on the power play. Portland scores.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
You know, the usual.
The usual, Tim. The usual.
Yeah, do you want to talk about that Florida game?
Well, I imagine, I mean, I guess we have to. But before I do anything, Tim, it is time for the Chuck Bowl. Okay, let's start talking about Matthew versus Brady. Matthew's side took this by score of 6. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm just going to play the clip.
Stop! He's already dead.
You know what? I recorded my other podcast that night. I have absolutely no regrets about doing that instead of watching this game.
Yeah, I was helping out at church and I'm pretty glad. The first two shots went in the net. Korpisalo made 13 saves on 17 shots, and Forsberg let in two more. If you want to win a game, you have to stop the puck. And yeah, Sens goaltending just not capable of that. And admittedly, in this game, Florida was, like, for large stretches of the game, Florida did carry play, but the Ottawa Senators actually kept up pretty well. Even when it was 4-0 with Florida, it wasn't like they were getting just absolute circle skated around them, right? Like, the shots were 31-30. Florida probably got the better of them, but Ottawa didn't deserve to get blown out, but the goaltending just let them down.
Had I known this was going to be a theme for the season, we could have let our listeners know to make a drinking game out of it. Take a drink every time we say the goalies let us down.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, sorry about that, go ahead.
Like, the most frustrating one is really that Kulikov goal where he shoots the puck from the blue line. And Korpisalo is not even close to where it should be. Like, a lot of the other goals, yeah, they came in from the slot. Or they got a nice shot from the dots. But yeah, Anton Lindell scores from behind the net. Like, really?
Well, Tim, do you want to move on and talk about at least a better effort by the Sens this week?
Yeah.
Devils versus Senators. This is a 4-3 Devils victory. Devils goals scored by Eric Haula, Andre Pallant, Brendan Smith, and Nico Hischier. Sens goals scored by Jake Sanderson, Claude Giroux, and Brady Tkachuk. Shots were 28 even. I gotta say, I mean, that final drive in the game. Can you imagine how... Okay, so in football, there's a term called the double doink.
Yep.
It's referring to the Chicago Bears in the playoffs. They kicked it. It went off the post, hit the crossbar, and went out. This essentially was that, except it hit both posts and went out.
Yeah, and that whole final drop, like that whole third period, Ottawa looked better than they had in a very long time. And they really deserve to tie that game up. Like, they kept New Jersey hemmed in for minutes at a time. their power plays were lethal. And honestly, Shane Pinto looks cursed out there with the way that puck was just bouncing around.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. And, you know, when talking about another guy, Joonas Korpisalo, you know, we've been throwing blame at him all evening. I did get a chance to watch some of this game, and I gotta say, I don't know about you. I don't know if I could really blame him for at
no.
least three of these goals. There was Korpisalo
didn't start the game.
No.
Forsberg started the game, and he let in three goals on nine shots. And the Palat and Brendan Smith goals were just like, aight, that's what we're doing?
I can't believe I actually missed that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no. So at the end of a power play, like the Palat one, it just goes through the five hole as he's coming around. The Smith goal is just kind of like, it's a Travis Hamonic goal. That's how I'm going to describe it. He just winds up the clapper, shoots it, and it goes in. Like, those two goals should not have gone in.
No, that's a great description, though. It's a Hamonic goal.
It's a Hamonic goal. And admittedly, Jake Sanderson's goal is also kind of memey. He just gets himself open and fires from the blue line.
It was interesting to see some of the discord about the right at the empty net game where the Devils put it in on the empty net as soon as the time ended, and the Sens players got upset about it.
Yeah, I thought we were done with empty net stuff.
Yeah, I just think it was really... And, you know, in the past, I've made my thoughts clear about the duo Tim and Sid.
Yeah.
One, because I hate Sid. I've never... Oh, believe me. You want to talk about somebody who has very strong opinions about that guy? One, because he is such a blowhard, but also you could tell how much of a hater of the Senators he really is.
Yep.
Like, I remember in 2017, when the Sens made that deep run, he could not contain himself from throwing shade at the team. He was like, yeah, this team's going to a seventh game, but have you seen about their attendance issues this year? It's like, fuck off. We have a Canadian team that was one win away from the finals, and that's what you're going to say. And I get it, you're on a Toronto sports network, but at the same time, it's like, you have to be at least a bit unbiased, which is why for TSN, I don't understand. And then this is my little rant here for today's episode, Tim, is going to be, I don't understand why when SC with Jay and Dan or some of these shows or TSN get Brian Hayes to talk about the Senators, because he is such a Leafs homer.
At least O-Dog's funny about it.
Yeah, O-Dog is funny. And even with, like, Carlo Koliakovo, who, again, you know what it is? How much of it is it because O-Dog is funny about it, but also because I can understand him and Koliakovo being homers for the Leafs because they both played for them.
Yeah.
I think for me, I kind of excuse... I can excuse that to a degree. I'm like, okay, you guys played for them, I get it, whatever. Whereas, like, with guys like Sid, I just, like, you're just a commentator on TV.
Yeah.
At least Brian Hayes, he's not overly negative about the Senators. He just gives his opinion.
Yeah. And, like, I don't care. Because, like, at the end of the day, it's an empty net. Who cares?
Yeah, very much. Although, I will say, from this day forward, I want to see more Meth and O-Dog on the TSN broadcasts. Especially doing the Sens-Leafs games. All those two were great. I will pay... You have no idea how much money I would pay to watch those two team up.
Oh, yeah. No, they're fun guys.
They're fun guys. They essentially would be like the TSN equivalent of Shaq and Barkley.
Yeah. And honestly, if you have guys who can have some fun, and I think that's the thing I appreciate about TSN, is like they let their staff have fun. And I think Sportsnet tries, but I don't know why everything on Sportsnet just feels so lame.
Okay, so here's my honest opinion on Sportsnet regarding this space because Sportsnet tries, but they fail. I understand that's a very generalized statement to make, but it seems like with TSN, it seems more organic, where with Sportsnet, it seems more scripted.
Yeah, but it's also weird because it feels like TSN just has higher like when TSN does scripted stuff, it's just higher quality. It just always feels like Sportsnet, everything feels low quality.
Well, do you also think it also has to do with the people that work for the network too? Because at least with TSN, you have Gord Miller, you have Noodles, you have Jeff O'Neill, you have guys like that who genuinely are very funny. I mean, hell, we've had Jamie on our podcast in the past. I mean, he's been a hoot.
Yeah. Some of the people they have on, it's like, it's not bad.
No, it's really not, Tim. Now, to close out the game,
like, yeah, we've talked about before, like, Jennifer Botterill is legitimately just better on the American channels.
Yeah, and again, that's something that we've talked about in the past. I don't get it, because even, like, with Kevin Bieksa, very early on, you could tell, like, okay, this is a very exciting, he's different.
And then he just gets beaten into that same stupid mold. Yeah, they'll replace Ron McLean eventually, but are they going to replace him with someone else they're going to make boring and dumb?
Yeah, it's almost like Sportsnet tries to do the way of WWE, where they try to mold you what they want you to be versus what you organically could be.
Yeah, and what they want is just... I haven't seen anyone say anything positive about Sportsnet coverage. You know?
No. I mean, the only positive thing I heard, and I don't know if you read this from this past week, was apparently, I think Amazon Prime was going to start doing some games.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
They were going to get the TV rights from Sportsnet, so that'd be interesting.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny how we've, for the most part, been... like, very lucky as Sens fans, just because TSN holds the rights to the Senators.
I said this to my boss last week. I says, I find it very ironic that I pay X amount of dollars for Sportsnet app to watch a team that plays on TSN.
Yeah, pretty much.
The irony is never lost on me. But also, the Sens and TSN crew is just great, where you have, I mean, again, Gord, Noodles, James Duffy. I mean, you got guys like that. And even some of the people they've had in the past doing the Sens games has been very good. So lucky is very much the right word here.
And one of the interesting things is it looks, yeah, like Sportsnet's just kind of, they've been dropping a lot of their big hockey contracts. Like CHL is going to TSN CBC again.
Yeah. Well, and I think even very early on, I think the early signs that the Sportsnet deal is not going to work is that they've tried so many things and it's not worked.
Yeah.
Like bringing on George Stropoulopoulos didn't work.
Well, it's like the thing about Strombo is I feel like it could have worked if they let it be organic. Like if he kind of took the approach he had on the hour and kind of his earlier career there, I think that could have worked.
Yeah. I think the only thing with, the difference between him on the hour and him on Hockey Night Canada is that with the hour, it was just him.
Yeah.
Hockey Night Canada, he had three other people he had to work with.
That's true.
So, Tim, you know, in recent episodes that we've always tried to include the Sunday night games that happened before our Monday recordings, and we're going to do the same here tonight as we're going to close off talking about the Sens versus the Capitals. This is a 3-2 Senators overtime victory. Sens goal scored by Mark Kaselic, Ridley Greig, and Jake Sanderson in overtime. Caps goal scored by Max Pacioretty and Alexei Prodas. Shots were 22-21 for the Capitals. So I was doing some meal prep last night, so I didn't get a chance to sit down to watch much of this game, but I got to talk about that Jake Sanderson overtime goal, because I'll tell you one thing. You know when we were kids playing street hockey with the younger siblings when they were in goal?
Yeah.
That's a classic street hockey goal where you just wrist it right top corner where they're not going to stop it.
Well, it didn't even seem like Lindgren saw it.
It didn't. It looked like it didn't even register the puck came at him until like the last second. He goes, "Oh."
Like, that's actually wild. And great work by the Senators in overtime. Lots of crisscrossing and good motion to get themselves open for the shot. Overall, it was both teams played the night before, and you could tell. Like, the game just felt rusty with both teams taking turns at just being completely unengaged.
Yeah, that was definitely the one takeaway from this game for me watching it, was that you could tell, okay, coming off a game, you played the night before, you come into a new city. But I gotta say, I mean, there really wasn't a lot of negative takeaways I could tell this game, but the one really big one for me, and I think we have to shine some light on it. See what I did there? Okay, I'm very curious to see what happened here, because Socor Pasalo was in the net, and all of a sudden he sees like this shining light coming at him. And he calls for the ref, he gets it to stop. And apparently what happened is that there was a door in the rafters of the MCI Center that was open.
Yeah, it was just bizarre, because like seeing the screenshots and the video after it happened, it's just like, it's just the, like, there's the artificial light and then this natural golden light shining down on Corpusallo. And you hear Gord's just like, the sun is setting and Corpusallo is blinded by the sun. And Corpusallo's just like, hey, come on.
You know what? That is going to be that's such an Ottawa Senators thing to happen too, right? Like, what other team would that happen to? Although I think it's kind of interesting, like, when this happened, because I don't believe it's ever happened for the Kraken. So, where the, like, Climate Pledge, for example.
Yeah.
Their arena, if you look in the rafters, you'll see, like, big windows and whatever. That's open lighting.
That's cool.
So, during games, like, or during the day, that's open. Like, there is, you can look down onto the ice surface from street level. And I guess for the games, basically what happened is that they have blinders that come down and they close the windows off.
Okay, that's cool. But I know, like, for this one, it was actually one of the doors for the press level was open.
Aw, damn it, Noodles.
So, like, there were people coming in and out, and I guess the curtain got pulled away.
This still kills me. I mean, it really does. It makes me laugh every time I'm thinking about it.
Just the funniest.
It is the funniest. It is the funniest. Now, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, do you have any more takeaways from this game, to be honest, Tim?
It was a weirdly dry game. But Ottawa's fourth line, despite giving up two goals... Sorry, third line, despite giving up two goals, they looked pretty good. And, like, just playing hard and creating chaos like they do. But I didn't even realize Zach MacEwen was back.
Was he really?
Yeah. And he played, like, Smeagol Mama and MacEwen played 8 minutes together.
Okay, I Mama. Talk about him real quick. So he was a call-up, and he is now the newest member of the NHL All-Name Team.
Oh, Boki Mama has been great. Well, okay. Let's roll that one back. He's looked all right in small moments, but his play in New Jersey definitely left something to be against New Jersey, sorry, definitely left something to be desired. Where questionable play choices led to a goal against and a dumb fight.
So basically what I'm hearing is that his great name to good play ratio is off.
Yes.
Okay.
It was also interesting to note that Dominik Kubalik didn't play.
Was he a healthy scratch?
I'm going to check. Because, like, the guy, he just hasn't been great.
No, and he's been one of those guys who's been very disappointing for the Senators this season. And I remember even our good friend Jake Rivard, when they made the trade for DeBrincat, he even told me that Kubalik could be good, but he's very streaky.
Kubalik was listed as day to day. But I don't think the Senators were any worse missing him.
No.
But yeah, it's just been sorry, it the it he's a late scratch and it's unclear why he's out. Kubalik undisclosed per Gariuk. But he's just been 15 points in 72 games is I don't think that's the NHL an NHL player.
No.
And yeah, the Sens just don't bring him back next year. Like I don't see him coming back.
No, which, it kind of is what it is, right? But basically, he's gone. Somebody new is going to come in.
Pretty much the way she goes, right?
It's the way she goes, Tim. The way she goes. So, Tim, I don't have any more comments to make on these games. If you are ready to head off to the close for another episode.
Yeah, let's go.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Third Line Plug, SenseCast. I hope you've enjoyed it because, believe me, Tim and I love recording it for you. You can find the show on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and Google Play. As well, you can find us on social media at Third Line Plug. You can find me on social media at Great White Gipster. You can find Tim on Twitter at M901 Honey Badger. All right, Tim, for the games of the week, there's three games that are going to be played, five total for the rest of the season, for the final games of the season. Tuesday night, we are once again having a Tkachuk Bowl in South Florida. Thursday, we are in Tampa Bay to play the Lightning. Saturday, we return home to play the Montreal Canadiens. Monday the 15th, we play the New York Rangers in New York. And Tuesday, April 16th, we travel to Boston, Massachusetts to close out the 2023-2024 season against the Boston Bruins.
Honestly, season couldn't come to an end soon enough.
Until next time, guys, I'm your host, Tim Gibson.
And this has been Tim Jensen.
Go, Jensen.